I'm picking up where Sarah left off last week in our study, Habits of Grace. So get your handout. I want to mention a name of a lady.
Good morning.
Her name was Julia Johnston. She was born in 1849 in the state of Ohio. She wrote one of my very favorite hymns. Her dad was a pastor. Her mother was actually a poet. And so she began writing poetry as well. Listen and see if you recognize this hymn. Marvelous, infamous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see his face. Will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, you know it, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. How wonderful. We're saved by grace. It's a gift that was freely bestowed on us because we believed. And how wonderful. We will also only live the Christian life because of the gift of grace as well. You see, it's by the grace of God that we're enabled to live the Christian life. It's not about trying hard. It's not about achieving the Christian life by your own effort. Look at Ephesians 2:9 on your handout. It says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. We will live victorious Christian lives by the grace of God. We're saved by grace, and we live by grace. It's all God's grace. Grace is the very air we breathe. And this truth should cause your heart to rejoice this morning. As I think about the Muslim culture that we just left, it's such an oppressive religion. It's all based on your performance. You have to try real, real hard. You can have no assurance that you're saved. You just hope you are. And you won't find out until the day of judgment when you stand before Allah, and you will find out if you made it or not. There are five pillars in the Islam religion. There's something called the Shahada. That's where you make a declaration that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Then there's the Salat. That's a daily prayer. And you have to pray five times a day. You pray at dawn. You pray at noon. You pray in the afternoon. You pray in sunset. And you pray in the evening. And everywhere you go in that country, there are little prayer rooms. And people are praying all during the day. Then there's something called the zakat. That's where you're to give to the poor. You're to be generous to the poor. And then there's the fasting during Ramadan. You fast from dawn to sunset. But then there's this strange thing. And we saw this in the Istanbul airport. We had a five-hour layover in that airport. Brand new airport. Absolutely beautiful. And it's the perfect place to people watch. Do you like to people watch? And we're just on the other side of the world watching the craziest people you've ever seen in your life. But there was just this odd thing happening in the airport. And it's this fifth pillar of Islam. And it's at this time of year that so many go to Mecca. And that's the fifth pillar. You have to visit Mecca at some time in your life. And this is called the Hajj. I don't know if I'm saying these things right, but here in the airport are all these Muslim men. They're wearing two pieces of gauzy-like fabric, a big one around their waist, and then another one thrown over their shoulders. They don't wear socks, they don't wear shirts, they don't wear turbans, they don't wear pants, and they don't wear underwear. Yuck. How do I know that? Well, I Googled it. But I did notice, do they have underwear on? It looked so like, you know, it looked like they just had thrown a towel on themselves. And just hundreds of them are walking through the airport. And they were either traveling to Mecca or they were traveling back from Mecca. They can only have a hope that they've done enough to have salvation, but they won't know until the day of judgment. But praise God, Scripture teaches us as Christians that we can know we are saved. I can know it. Look on your handout, John 5:13. And this is the book of John. John says, I'm writing this book. And this is why I wrote the book. These things I have written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. And if you're a new Christian, I would suggest to you, get in the book of John. It will build your assurance of your salvation, because those very things were written so that you could know you have salvation. Look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I have peace with God. I'm reconciled. We're friends. I'm in the family. But the Muslims only have a hope. Their future is uncertain, but we have a confidence. Our lives are completely characterized by the free gift of grace that comes to us in Christ Jesus. God's marvelous grace. Are you thankful for God's grace this morning? Are you glad you're here? Are you happy to be a part of the body of Christ? You see, none of us were ever meant to be isolated or an island. You know, we're called a body. I would never cut my hand off and remove it in an obscure place. No, it needs to be attached. Same thing with my toe. Every part of my body is important, and every part of the body of Christ is important. And as we come together week after week, we minister to each other. Now, I really hope this morning my Sunday school lesson is a means of grace in your life. That somehow, as I'm teaching you this morning, God's grace is going to land in your life, and you're going to be strengthened. I hope that as we all go and sit under the preaching of God's word, that God's grace is going to come to us through that sermon. As we sing the music, God's grace is going to minister to our hearts. During the time of praying, during the time when we all gather in here and eat together, all a means of God's grace. And we're going to all be greatly enriched because we're here this morning. We're here and we're celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ together. We're centering around the truths about Him. We're all about magnifying Him. Now let's review the three pathways of grace that we've been seeing in our study. What's the first one? The Word of God. So write that down. What's the second one? Prayer. And what's the third one? Fellowship, body, life together in Christ. And so for today, we come to the chapter that's entitled, Listen for Grace in the Pulpit. You know, one of the most energizing ways to strengthen your Christian life is to sit, listen carefully, attentively. That's the key word. Sit attentively under faithful preaching of the Word of God. Hearing the fresh preaching of the gospel is the mountain peak of receiving grace from God. So write that on your handout. We're going to see some things about preaching. It's the mountain peak of receiving the grace of God. All the other elements of our gathering together on Sundays, they follow a rhythm of receiving from Him and responding back to Him. But in preaching, write this down, we move into a posture of simply receiving. There's no way for us to respond back. We're under the authority of the Word of God, under the preaching of the Word of God. It is the moment, write it on your handout, when God speaks in monologue. And then write this: it is a time when we submit ourselves to his word given to us by the preacher. Other elements of our time together, they allow for questions and for responses and for conversation and for dialogue, but preaching is just one half hour each week. When we come together as the church, it's a time when we close our mouths. We open our ears, we open our hearts, and we hear the uninterrupted voice of the Lord through his chosen messenger. Now that leaves us around 112 waking hours or so during the week to do and to discuss and to dialogue and to debate. Are you restless during that 30 minutes? When Brother Greg preaches, are you restless? You see, everything has its place. But the pastor's time is a time for us to sit and listen quietly and to focus and to listen intently. It's a time when you and I put ourselves under God's word. It's a time where we focus our energy, our attention to receiving what he's prepared and to hear it with faith. And the act of preaching itself is a picture of the gospel. You see, as Brother Greg takes the Bible each week, he does his best to reveal Jesus to us in a fresh way. He seeks to put the Lord on display. We experience in a fresh way, and I want you to write this down, the joy of being rescued and saved all over again. Now look with me at Luke 4, 43 and 44, because I want you to see that when Jesus came to earth, he came preaching. Look at verse 43. But Jesus said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. You see, he was sent not only to die for our sins, but he was sent to preach the kingdom of God. Look at Mark 3:14, because he also sent out his disciples to preach. Look at that verse. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. Now, Jesus was the ultimate preacher, and after he ascended into heaven, preaching did not disappear. I mean, when you come to the book of Acts, preaching is alive and well as it ever was. And preaching extends into the life of the church. And in our church, Jesus is to be the centerpiece of all faithful preaching. So write that on your handout. Preaching has at its centerpiece the Lord Jesus. Our focus together as we come in our corporate worship is this. Write it down. It's the crucified and risen Lord. It's the excellencies of his person and his work. It's his soon coming expected return. And that is to be the power of preaching. It's to be preoccupied with Jesus. Not about stories. It's not about interesting facts. It's not about the pastor himself. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And so true Christian preaching will swallow us up again and again. We'll lose ourselves in the preaching. We'll not be all obsessed with the speaker and his wonderful abilities, no, or his stories, or his experiences. It's all about the perfections of the Lord Jesus, who he is, how he loves us. Let's write another thing down. Good preaching brings the church into an encounter with Christ. And you know who makes this happen? It's the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit causes the encounter with Jesus to happen through the preaching of the Word of God. And so not only do we hear about Jesus but we meet with him Sunday after Sunday during the preaching of God's word, and that's on your handout. We meet with him, and also this on your handout. It brings us into the very presence of God. Now, you and I need to give great value to the preaching that happens once a week on Sunday mornings for a 30-minute time period, because it's a time, it's a means through which God truly speaks, and it's also a means in which Christ is really present in the body. How do you feel about that 30-minute time? Are you ho-hum about it? Or do you come to worship expecting to hear Christ preached, and you come expecting to experience Jesus in a fresh way? Now, here's a quote from our book that I put on your handout by David Mathis. He says this: "It is a God-appointed means of communicating his grace to the church through the channel of our faith, with the chief benefit being an encounter with Jesus himself." And John Calvin said this: "The point of preaching is to offer and set forth Christ to us, and in him the treasures of heavenly grace." You see, it causes us, to know Jesus, to enjoy Jesus, to delight in Jesus. Look at Philippians 3:10, because I think that gives us the greatest incentive for listening attentively as we sit under the preaching of God's word. It says this, Paul said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." That I may know him. Are you hungry to know him better? Are you dissatisfied? Ho-hum. Who cares? Maybe I'll go, maybe I won't. Look at John 17:3. "This is eternal life, that they may know you." This is Jesus praying to God, "the only true God and Jesus Christ, who you have sent." You see, preaching is a time where we taste eternal life for 30 minutes a week. It's a time for you and I to come and to learn about God, to know God deeper. It's where we come to know Christ. Now, I want to give you five graces of sitting with faith under the faithful preaching of the Word of God. You see, there are some things that happen to us as we sit attentively. There's that key word again, attentively, under the faithful preaching of the gospel. Number one, here's what happens. We forget ourselves. And that's a good thing. We're so preoccupied with ourselves. But preaching is a time when our souls are freed from that preoccupation with ourselves. It's a time where we can be captivated by Christ. And faithful preaching exposes us, and it challenges us to change, to grow. We're called away from self, and we're called to our glorious Savior. Here's number two. Sitting under faithful preaching refills our faith. Refills our faith. As we come and sit under the Word of God, we experience renewal. Look, you're strengthened. It's a time to be strengthened. A pep talk just won't do it. It's not a pep talk. We simply don't have the resources in and of ourselves to be strengthened. But when we come under the preaching of God's word, we receive an external word, a word from God himself, and that will sustain us. Look at Romans 10:17, a verse you know. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And so when he stands and proclaims the word of God, we're strengthened in our faith. This is what Paul said in Romans 16:25 at the end of Romans in his doxology in that letter. Look at it with me on your handout. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. You see, as you're sitting under the preaching of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are established. I like that word. Do you want to be established in your faith? I do. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 24. I'm going to pick out a few verses there. 18 says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but notice what it says, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I'm sitting there. That word is being proclaimed. It is power to me. And look at verse 21. God was, well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, to the Gentiles foolishness." Verse 24, "But to those who are the called, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." You see, the ongoing preaching of the gospel is vital to the ongoing life of faith. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you receive, and which also you stand, by which also you were saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." This tells us we've received the preached gospel in the past when we were saved, but it's also that grace in which we presently stand, and that by which we will finally be saved if we continue to receive and hold on to that gospel. Here's a third thing. When we sit under faithful preaching, here's what happens. We are genuinely changed. Genuinely changed. I love 2 Corinthians 2, 15 through 16. It says this, "For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life." As you walk in this room this morning, the fragrance of life came out of you. We're meeting together. We're just rejoicing and celebrating the fact that we have life in Christ. We go out in the world and sometimes we don't smell good to people because they're dead. They don't want to hear smell us. But to each other in the body of Christ, we're an aroma of fragrance. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, either we will grow together or we'll shrivel. Either our hearts will get warm or our hearts will cool. Either we will be softened or our hearts will become callous. But when preaching is strong, there is no neutral ground. And the main way that preaching changes us is not by giving us points of applications to take away or to tackle as a to-do list for the coming week. Rather, as we hear with faith and we behold the glory of Christ in our soul. Look on your handout at 2 Corinthians 3:18. It tells us exactly what happens. We are being transformed from one level of glory to another level of glory. This is why preaching must be circling the person of Jesus Christ. And as we perceive him, there comes true power for change in our lives. and we're renewed, and our faith is strengthened. Our souls become truly satisfied in knowing and enjoying Jesus. That's why preaching must be all about Jesus. I'm so happy that one night Bill and I went to church and I got saved. What if that night I had just said, well, you know, I think I'll stay home and watch Gunsmoke. I like Gunsmoke. My goodness, I went into that environment. I heard the gospel preached. And I got saved that night. You see, it's a powerful thing to be under the preaching of the Word of God. And our hearts are changed, but not only changed. Let's write another thing down, because when we sit under faithful preaching, here's another thing that happens. We're equipped. We are equipped. And I want you to go to Ephesians 4 to see what I'm talking about. You'll see the reason here why God gave pastors. They're called here. Well, let's just read it. And he gave some as apostles, and he gave some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastor teachers. That's actually one term, pastor teacher. And why did he give that to the body? Well, I want you to see it. Don't miss it. He gave these gifted men to the body. Now notice, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Oh my goodness. You mean the pastor's not to be the whole body? That's what we expect. We want our pastors to do it all. And we just come and plop down on the pew. But no, no, no. You see here, the pastor preaches the powerful word of God and the gospel, and we get equipped. And you know what? It's the body who is to do the work of service. You and me. We're to do the serving. I love what D.L. Moody said. One morning, he begged his congregation. This is what he said. Do something, do something, do something. It's one of his famous quotes. And he begged it to his congregation. Get off the pew and do something. Get equipped. Look around. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:12. Seek to excel in building up the church. What can you do? Well, seek it. Be watching for the opportunity. Where can I serve? What can I do to be a part of this body and build it up? And notice verse 16, same chapter. Let all things be done for the building up. This is one of the greatest byproducts of strong gospel preaching. The congregation's equipped. And they start moving to serve the body. Let's put a fifth thing down. Faithful preaching will cause the congregation to encounter Jesus himself. And not only that, but to enjoy him through hearing and receiving his word. Because, you see, it causes us to gaze at Jesus, to think on Jesus, to meditate on his person. And he is actually the only one who brings satisfaction to our souls. And we meet him through faithful preaching. His presence is mediated to us through his word. It causes us to know him. It causes us to adore him, to enjoy him as the greatest treasure in life. Now, what if today, as we leave this room, what if we were to enter that sanctuary, approaching that worship time, not just with the mindset that we're going to hear Brother Greg, but what if we approached that time and we thought to ourselves, I'm going to encounter Jesus. I'm going to encounter Jesus in a fresh way. You know, I think my spiritual gift is, you know, I really don't know what my spiritual gift is, but I kind of think it's exhortation. Because people who have that gift, they're always real excited. And they're kind of on fire. And they always want you to do something. Do you ever feel like that when I'm teaching you? Just feel like I'm pushing you. Get up out of your seat, do something. And sometimes people like that are so annoying. You think, I wish that person would take some medication, rest. Not everyone wants a fire lit under them. What about you this morning? What are your dreams for our church? For our church body? I have always hated status quo, business as usual, ho-hum, let's just get by. I've been in this church now about 50 years, and as I look back, I can tell you we have come a long way in terms of spiritual growth, and yet there's so much room for us to grow, especially when it comes to experiencing a vibrant body life in our church. Loving each other well, serving each other well, listening to each other well. There's a place where you serve me, there's a place where I serve you, there's a place where you sacrifice for me and I sacrifice for you. You speak God's word to me, I speak God's word to you. I want us to get intentional about being equipped for the work of service. Believe it or not, we're about to wrap up this study. I think this is our 16th, 17th week, some crazy thing like that. But what I care about as the teacher is only one thing. Has it affected your life, what we've been studying? Has it affected how you think? Has it affected how you're living out your life here in our church? And I'm praying it's made you more intentional. And so now we're going to get up and we're going to go in the worship service. And we're going to experience Jesus together under the preaching of God's word. Will you be intentional about hearing what God has to say to us this morning? Then we're going to come in here and enjoy a meal together. Will you be intentional about reaching out, loving on other people, caring, hearing, building relationships? How can I serve you? How can you serve me? By the way, Bible school is coming up. Anybody interested? This is where you turn your head away real quick. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the challenge of our lesson this morning. We're so grateful for our own pastor, who is so faithful, who brings the Word of God every week. He's so intentional. He prepares so well. And I pray this morning as we go, you would speak into our lives that we would experience Jesus in a fresh way, that we would experience the gospel, the fact that we're saved and we're rescued. Oh, hallelujah, what a wonderful thing. May our hearts rejoice together. And then as we come in here and share a meal with one another, I pray, God, that you will just cause us to care deeply for each other, to love each other well. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. All right, I'll see you next week. I just tried